O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever, for he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Bring back the Bible, O ye sons of men. Bring back the Bible and begin again. Bring back the Bible, shout it far and wide. Bring back the Bible and wait for the tide. Bring back the Bible, let it be heard. Bring back the Bible, God's holy word. What a wonderful book is this book. There's nothing like it in all the world. And I'm glad we have it in our own language in the King James Version. That's my version. I stand on it firmly, frankly, forcefully, fervently, and forever. Pretty good, isn't it, Pastor? That'll help you too, huh? Yeah, good. Well, open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the Gospel according to John, the Eagle Gospel, the Gospel that soars beyond and above the synoptics as an eagle above the low-flying birds. John chapter 1, as you're finding your place, I want to remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, The flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. 66 books, 1,189 chapters, over 34,000 verses, more than 700,000 words, all of which are inspired by the Holy Spirit and preserved for us in our language. I'm going to read John chapter 1, verses 11, 12, and 13. I shall read these verses after we pray together. Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful for this hour that brings us together in the name of Christ to hear thy word, to rejoice with music and message and fellowship and oneness and togetherness, and to glorify and honor the Lord Jesus, to magnify him above all others. And I pray tonight, should there be a soul here tonight who's drifting from the shore, may they be called back by the gospel. If there be a lost soul that's never tasted the heavenly gift, that's never experienced the new birth, even on a Sunday night, when many churches have closed their doors and called off their services, we are grateful for such a wonderful crowd that's come to hear the word of God and to share with one another. Bless this service to thy honor and glory is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake, and with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. John chapter 1, verse number 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let it be known that our Lord Jesus Christ is the chief character and grand subject of the Bible. His name appears 979 times in the scripture. His portrait is seen in all of the 66 books. His signature is on every page. And I can assure you, he will never apologize for his handwriting. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Open the Bible. Find him there. Open the Bible. Don't despair. Open the Bible. See his face. Open the Bible. Trust his grace. Open the Bible. Look clearly above. Open the Bible and share God's love. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my sovereign, my sufficiency, my supply, my strength, my satisfaction, my security, my standard bearer, my shepherd, my sacrifice, my substitute. Jesus Christ is my life, my Lord, my light, my love, my liberty. Jesus Christ is my Redeemer, my ruler, my reward, my righteousness, my refuge. He is the rock of my salvation. Amen. Consider the fact that he's the lawyer of all the law books. He's the historian of the history books. He's the prophet of the prophecy books. He's the singer of the song books. He's the poet of the poetry books. He's the gospeler of the gospels. Amen. He's the actor of acts. He's the administrator of the epistles. He's the revelator of the revelation. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He's tender without being weak. In fact, he was so tender that the little children found a safety and secure zone on his lap. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He is strong without being abrasive. He is great without being proud. He became flesh without losing his deity. Verse 14 of John 1 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was made sin without becoming a sinner. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he that is God hath made him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made under the law without becoming a tyrant. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. You'll find the title of my message in the first two words of my text. Would you look at them again? Just two words. He came. I submit to you in the first place that he came when the world was perishing in darkness and sin. The sky above mankind was dark when pagans ruled the world. The stars of hope had disappeared and darkness reigned supremely. Babylon, with all of its glorious splendor, had failed to satisfy the innermost longings of man. Greece, with all of its intellectual philosophy, could not save the world. Roman, with its tyrannical power, could not redeem mankind. Judaism had failed in its attempt to reconcile man to God. Paganism was a bitter disappointment. Religion had run its course, leaving man empty, fearful, frustrated, depressed, despondent, hopeless. But then, are you ready for this? Something wonderful happened. And I can't wait to tell you what it was. The morning light broke through the darkness, and when God's sunshine of love appeared, it appeared in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's what the book says, Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Ladies and gentlemen, that was God that was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was God who was laid in the manger. When he walked, God walked. When he talked, God talked. When he loved, God loved. When he died, could I say it? Do you understand it? God died, and he died for your sins and mine. And I want to tell you, he can wash away all of your sins. His blood can change the leper spot and make the vilest clean. And I tell you that then and there, the world got the first glimpse of God in the person of his only begotten Son. And I will give it to you from the Bible in miniature, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There it is, the Bible in miniature in 25 words, and they're all written in red. The light of the world had come to dispel the darkness of sin. A darkness that had clouded all mankind since the dawn of creation. Every member of Adam's race was under the cloud. But Jesus, hear me now. By the way, I need to tell you that Jesus did not bring light. Jesus is light. That's what he said. I'm giving you his word, John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Thank God for the light. It brings me out of night. Thank God for the light. It gives me spiritual sight. Thank God for the light. It is ever always bright. Thank God for the light. It changed my hopeless plight. What a wonderful Savior is the light of the world. The prophet of redemption, the messianic prophet, Isaiah by name, lived and prophesied 750 years before Christ. Listen to what he wrote about the light in his 9th chapter at verse number 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. John continues the thought in his first chapter at verse 9. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, time out, have you received him? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Peter addresses it in 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 9. Show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. John puts the capstone on this tower of light in his first epistle chapter 2 at verse number 8, where he wrote, "The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." Philip Bliss, one of the great hymn writers of yesteryear, wrote, "The whole world was lost in darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine, at noonday, his glory shone in." Jesus is the light of the world. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. It shineth for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Well, that's my introduction. It's not far from the invitation, because a message, well, in my estimation, will be brief. Now, you may not think so, because I'm standing and you're sitting out there comfortable and just waiting to hear something good, and here it comes. I've entitled the message, hear me now, He Came. He came. Who? Jesus came. Can I tell you, my friend, that when Jesus came, everything changed. I submit to you in the second place in this message, He came. He came when mankind needed a revelation from God. You know, 400 years is a long time. That's the period of time between the closing of Malachi, the Old Testament, and the opening of Matthew, the New Testament, the silent centuries. No voice from God, no voice from a prophet, no song, not even the flapping of an angel's wing. It was a silent time. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 1 at verse 1, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. That's a verse of Scripture that every one of you needs to be familiar with. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Many of you know that I taught the life of Christ for 35 years in seminaries and Bible colleges. And every student that came through my class in 35 years had to memorize 1 Timothy 3:16, because that is the life of Christ. Would you listen carefully? "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The life of Christ in just 35 words. You've got a whole semester's course right here in 35 words. Now then, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ brings us the unfolding of the divine drama of the ages, originated, conceived by God, directed by the Holy Spirit, and having as its main player Jesus Christ. Born in a manger, he was reared in obscurity. Clothed in poverty, he died in agony. Buried in shame, he was raised in triumph. Ascended in glory, he intercedes in mercy. And one day he's coming again in majesty. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him. And all the kindreds of earth shall wail because of him. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glories crown, his lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that fill the human train. He saw me plunged in deep despair and flew to my relief. For me he bore the shameful cross and carried all my grief. To him I owe my life and breath and all the joys I crave. He makes me triumph over death and saves me from the grave. What a wonderful Savior we're serving. Don't take him for granted tonight. Love him tonight. Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him and show him you love him and live like you love him. Now, act one of this magnificent drama, God was manifest in the flesh. That's what verse 14 of chapter 1 that I just gave you, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Act number two of this magnificent drama, he was justified in the Spirit. So written in Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Now, you can't go straightway up out of a cup or out of a sprinkle. You got to go up out of the water to follow the symbolism, the greatest symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus is right there. Now, that's not going to save you, but it's going to show to the world who you belong to, who you're identifying with. Jesus. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And watch this, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Do you see it? Justified in the Spirit. Act number three, he was seen of angels. Matthew 4:11 says, when the devil leaveth him, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, watch this, angels came and ministered unto him. Wouldn't you like to have had a video of that? Angels ministering to the Son of God. 40 days and 40 nights in temptation. And every time the devil came, he put the Word of God in his face and said, it is written. And the devil left him. And I'm going to tell you, when you give the devil this book, he'll leave you too. Now, if you wink at him, he'll come spend the night with you. Now, you can't keep him from knocking on your door, but you don't have to invite him in to spend the night. Jesus said, it is written. Act number four, he was preached unto the Gentiles. You know that the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, Peter was on the center of stage, the apostle to the Jews. Beginning with the Acts 13, everything changed and turned. The whole gospel program took a turn. And Paul, after he had tried to convert the Jews and preach to them, the Bible says in Acts 13, they blasphemed him. And you know what he said in Acts 13 and verse 46? Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Hear me when I say it. Jesus Christ is Savior of both Jew and Gentile. Amen. And he's no respecter of person. You remember what Acts 10 says? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, I perceive, of a truth I perceive, that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. In every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every color, every creed, every culture, every civilization, every country, every city, every community, all men everywhere are invited to come to Christ. Well, that brings me to Act 5. There's just 14 of them. No, I'm just kidding. Act 5, he was believed on in the world. Now, the world to the Roman citizen was the Roman Empire. That was the world to them. And by 95 AD, when John's gospel was written, many parts of the Roman world had heard the gospel. And his critics said about him, listen, this just thrills me. His critics said in John 12, 19, the world has gone after him. Aren't you glad they did go after him? Aren't you glad they brought the gospel to our shores? Aren't you glad it's been planted in our hearts? Aren't you glad it's heard from this pulpit desk? Week after week after week. Okay, Act number 6. He was received up into glory. Acts chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, watch it now, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that was born of a virgin, same Jesus that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in that manger, same Jesus that walked on the water, same Jesus that fed the 5,000, same Jesus that died on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended back, here he is ascending right now. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You know what? All that man ever needed, he received when Jesus came to reveal who God is. Remember what he said in John 10, 30? Here I go quoting Jesus. See, I love to quote Jesus. Greatest authority the world has ever known. When I quote Jesus, I never have to worry about being misquoted. He said in John 10, 30, I and my Father are one. He said in John 14, 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now we know God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, and God's salvation. And it's all wrapped up in one person, his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul put it this way in Colossians 2, 9, for in him, in Christ, in him dwelleth all of the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, in the third place, he came to redeem us from our sins. Yes, amen. Luke 19:10. Remember now this, when Jesus came from the portals of heaven to the poverty of earth, he did not come to establish a new social order. He did not come to enlarge the powers of Rome. He did not come to enhance the philosophy of Greece. He came on a mission of redemption. That's what he said, Luke 19:10. I'm quoting him. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Titus 2:14, Paul wrote, who gave himself for us, watch this, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And in Colossians 1:14, Paul wrote, in whom we have redemption, please watch this, through his blood. Underline that. Draw a circle around it. Capitalize it. Centralize it. Canonize it. Publicize it. Advertise it. Harmonize it. Memorize it. Through his blood. No wonder Paul wrote in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. And Paul wrote in Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of the heifer sprinkleth to the sanctifying of the unclean, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let's call on Peter for a moment. What do you say, Peter? 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, for as much as you know, as much as you know that you're not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In the Revelation chapter 5, at verse 9, you heard our pastor so greatly enlarge on this the other night. Thou art worthy to take the book. You know, when nobody else could open the book, Jesus could. Can I tell you, when nobody else can open the book of your life, Jesus can. And to open the seals thereof, worthy to take it, and to open the seals, for thou wast slain, now watch it, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. By thy blood. Not by some baptismal water or some catechism, but by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Get your reigning britches on, folks. We're going to reign with him. Now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He came all the way to earth that he might take us all the way to heaven. That's what he said. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. No, that's not what it says. I know that one of these perversions says that, but I want to tell you what I've told you before, and some of you have forgotten it, and some of you never heard it. If you don't know the difference between a room and a mansion, I don't want you for my real estate dealer. In my Father's house are many mansions. Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if or inasmuch as I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've been saved now for almost 73 years. I've never been ashamed of it. I'm bound for heaven tonight just as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Just as sure and certain as Fort Worth is where the west begins. And Texas is the Lone Star State. And the earth revolves around the sun. And the moon reflects the light of the sun. And we're in the galaxy called the Milky Way. Rather be Hershey Bar, but they called it Milky Way. We're in that galaxy of the Milky Way. My heavenly home is bright and fair, nor pain nor death shall enter there. Its glittering towers the sun outshine, that mansion shall be mine. Oh, by the way, if you get there before I do, look for me. I'm coming too. Because I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. I praise the Lord I ever found this way. When this old world's on fire, you may know I've gone up higher. Or I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. Well, did I hear somebody say that's old-fashioned preaching? Thank you for the compliment. Here's a man that's an old-fashioned preacher. He's just half the age that I've been married. He's just 32. But he's an old-fashioned preacher. He digs in the Word and brings that out like it ought to be. Pastor Weaver did the same thing for 18 and 19 years. My brother Bob, who founded this church, did it for 7 years. I did it for 35 years, and I'm going on my 55th year in some capacity here. And I intend to live to be 100. When I do, I'm going to go back into the pastorate. But I want to tell you tonight that there's nothing like the old-time religion. I spoke of Bob. I called him the other day. And he's doing quite well for a man who's had 3 heart attacks, 2 heart surgeries, 25 heart catheterizations, over a dozen stents. A doctor told him not long ago, Mr. Barber, you may die from somebody knocking you in the head with a hammer, but you're not going to die of a heart problem. We never know. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Is your heart right with God? Is Jesus your Savior? Let's stand for our prayer. Heads are bowed, altars open, invitation has already begun. You don't have to wait till we pray. You don't have to wait till we sing. You don't have to wait till we do this, that, or the other. Just step out of your seat. If God's spoken to your heart, you're here tonight without the Savior, I bid you come and trust Him tonight. Now, don't wait till next week. Tonight. Tomorrow may be too late. You're here and need a church home. I invite you to come and join this fellowship. I don't know if